We started a little while ago talking about four things that the enemy greatly uses in the life of every believer to try and discourage us and to get us off track. And I want to share with you this morning, we're going to hopefully conclude the one that we've been on for quite a while. Will you turn to Exodus chapter 20? Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 17. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 1. We're going to do 1 through 17, actually. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. We talked about delay, how delay can affect our lives and how delay can discourage us and delay can get us off track and delay can cause us to mistrust or misbelieve God and his promises. Then secondly, we talked about deceit and how deceit comes in and how deceit can get us away from God's word and mistrust God at his word. And then we're going to go to distraction. That's next week. We're going to get to distractions. And that's big in our world today. It's big in our lifestyle. But we've been kind of like settled in here on deceit for the last number of weeks. And we talked, and as I looked over, you know, you could probably relate that into so many areas and aspects. That probably could be a whole year-long thing in and of itself, because the enemy tries to deceive in so many different areas. But I'm sensing and feeling a release after this week to move forward from deceit and into distraction. But the enemy wants to deceive us to think that we do not have to honor God's word. We do not have to be obedient to God's word, that we can hear God's word, but yet do what we want. How many of you here today own an automobile? How many of you, after purchasing the automobile, has never once put gasoline in the automobile? Let me see your hand. You have not once since the moment, okay, or somebody in your house hasn't put gas in the car. If someone has bought an automobile and it never has gotten gas from the moment you bought it, let me see your hands. Why have you put gasoline in the car? You know what that just sounded like? you put gas in the car to replenish. Gil, I heard you said replenish, didn't you? To replenish it, one. And two, here's something important for some of you to know. Young people, you may want to pay attention to this. If you don't put gas in, it won't go. It will not go. And when it's cold out like this, here I'm going to be like your dad, because I got old enough to be that way now. Don't let your car go below half a tank of gas. Don't be sucking up the sludge from the bottom of the tank, because that sludge will get in your fuel injectors, right, Taylor? And it'll clog up your fuel injectors. And if you have a 4-cylinder, you have 4 fuel injectors. If you have a 6-cylinder, you have 6 fuel injectors. And those fuel injectors are quite expensive, aren't they, Taylor? Yeah? And so we do not want to suck, not that she knows that by experience or anything, we don't want to suck up sludge from the bottom of the tank, and we want to make sure we have fresh gas in there, right? We want to make sure we put air in our tires. How many let the air just go low in your tire and the light comes on and you just say, forget about it, I'm not doing it? No, we put air in the tire, because if you don't have proper air balance in the tires, believe it or not, the tires will wear uneven. And that will create an issue with your tires. And so if the light comes on, put air in them. Get them to the right level, and your tires will run balanced and they'll wear properly. You know, we can't complain that our tires didn't wear properly if we didn't inflate them to the right, you know, pounds that they should be. We put gas in. If the oil light comes on, let me tell you, it's not meant to come on. They didn't put it there to come on so that you would know you had to put oil in. It was to come on to say to you, what are you doing? You know, you're supposed to put oil in me, right? And so those things are set there as boundaries, and the gas gauge goes down. If it gets close to E, you know you're going to run out. The oil light comes on, you know you're going to have to, you know, put oil in the car. But you're supposed to do those things prior to the event, prior to it happening, because if you don't, you can run into issues and problems with the operation or the running of the car. And somehow, you know, we purchase things and we think they should just mysteriously function whether we maintain them or not. And our lives are the same way. We've got to maintain our lives. We've got to maintain our spirituality. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17, I'm going to read down through you a list that we refer to, or the scripture even refers to, as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want to encourage you to, just for a moment, to ask yourself, how many of you may be able to recite the Ten Commandments? Don't raise your hand, because we don't want to embarrass anyone if they're not able to at this point in their, but can you recite the Ten Commandments off the top of your head? Can you recite, do you know what the Ten Commandments are? Maybe you could even get them out of order, but yet you kind of know what some would call the top ten. And if you can't say yes to that, well, it's like not putting oil in your car, all right? Number one, thou shalt not. Say thou shalt not. Some translations will say you shall have no. You shall have no other. Thou shalt not. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, what God is saying to us there is that God needs to be God in our lives. He's earned the right to be God in our lives. He earned the right to say this to the children of Israel because it was He who brought them out of bondage. It was He who delivered them. It was He who protected them. It is He who kept them. Cheryl, He deserved the right. And He said, therefore, have no other but me. Have no other but me. In our world and in our society today, we put a lot of things in categories and places and positions of importance in our life. How many of you would agree with me that you have things in your life that are more important than other things in your life? We all do. There are some things that are important, but they're not as important, right? Well, thou shalt not have no other gods before me should surely be an important one for us, because it's not up for debate. This is one of those you can debate all you want, but it's only foolishness, because He is Jehovah, He is Yahweh, and He said no other. So for me, I don't want to read articles about other gods. I won't read books about other gods. Oh, you're not open. No, you're right. I'm not open to another God. He is my God. Final answer, right? Just like millionaires. That's your final answer? Final answer. God. It's not for debate. It's not for discussion. You can't put all these other theories and all these other things. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm not concerned about those theories. Not concerned about those philosophies. Not concerned about those ideals. I will have no, this is for me. This is for me. I will have no other God before me. Matthew 6:33 said, seek first the kingdom. First. Nothing else before Him. Him. Non-negotiable. Non-debatable. This is about God. This is about us. And this is about God. Number two. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Now, is God against things made out of wood? No. Is God offended over structures? No. It is the worship of those things that God is talking about. That they would carve or hone out of wood or copper or gold or silver or whatever it was, tin, and they would make images and they would bow down and worship images of bulls and goats and rams and and whatever else they can strew to be a god, the sun god, the moon god, the rain god, whatever god. There, all throughout history, there have been many, many gods that have been conjured up throughout time. But the God who has stood the test of time is Yahweh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shalom. He is the one true God that has solely remained the strong test of time. People will worship a shrub. People will worship an image. People will worship a person. People will worship a personality. People will worship many things throughout this world. The things that become... Things that we worship are things that we place in a high priority of our life. Something that becomes a high priority of our life becomes something that we begin to misplace and we begin to worship it. So we need to be careful that we're not worshiping things. You know, I know some folks that won't pray without holding something in their hand, or they've got to carry something every day in their pocket. Because that thing, somehow, they find security in that thing. If I can rub my magic stone. Well, I got my mood ring on. Well, if you need a ring to dictate what mood you're in. I mean, seriously. You know, people are, I got to get a mood. Remember, how many remember when mood rings were the thing? I saw them in a store the other day. They must be making a comeback. People, I got to get a mood ring. I got to know what mood I'm in. I don't have to be around you more than 30 seconds and I can tell you what kind of mood you're in. You can save the $19.95 on the mood ring. I can't function unless I read the horoscopes yet today. Oh, my Lord, if you put your hope and your faith and your trust in that. Here's some silly person sitting in the newsroom drinking a cup of coffee, sputing out stuff and printing it in paper, and people are hanging their hopes on it. When the God of all gods, the creator of the heavens and the earth, said, I declared you by name. He's the one who says, I know you. He's the one. Did anybody else hear that ding? I thought I was just going crazy. Ding. I was like, oh, my time up? I was getting ready to be raptured. Woo! Be careful what you worship. No other gods, no graven images. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In vain. Does anybody have any idea what that means? Anybody? Nobody? Karen? Right. It basically doesn't represent him well. It is useless. Do not take, in other words, in jest. We're all guilty of it. How many of you have ever just been doing something? Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, come on. God! Oh, you thought I was going to be relevant, didn't you? You thought I was going to be relevant. You hit your hand with the hammer. God. Oh, I won't say the D word, but I'll say, darn it. What did you really mean? You just polished it up a little bit, but you meant, how many know what I'm saying? Am I telling the truth or am I lying? Did you ever say darn it, but you really meant? Oh, heck. What did you really mean to say? We've all been there. We've all done that. It's like a crazy habit in society that seems like it so easily creeps into so many. And you know, I've got to admit, there have been times I have done this. And Jerry and I've thought, I mean, I can tell you that happens less and less in my life now. The older I get, the more mature I get in Christ, the more I draw closer to Him. It happens less and less frequently. And there are some times that I even have to go, pause a second, Lori, because I want to say, oh, ow, ow, I just hit my toe. Why are y'all looking at me with, take off your little halo because you got horns underneath there. You ever stub your toe in the middle of the night going to the bathroom? Well, if you're over 50, you'll get there. And then, you know, pre-50, yeah, I know, I understand. And that word just begins to form in the back of your brain and starts trying to come up. Don't take the Lord's name. Don't use His name. Let me just put it to you in a very simple terminology today. Don't use His name simplistically. In shallow ways. Because there is a time and there was an age where He was so respected and revered, you know, they wouldn't even write His entire name. Yeah, actually, you're right. Because it is so revered, so honored, so respected, that it was a name. When you bump your toe, why don't you say, oh, George! Huh? You hit your finger with the hammer, Danny Dunlap! Oh! That was good, because that started with a D. That was good. That just came out. I didn't even pre-think that one. That was good. I'm going to laugh about that later. Holy Ken Kittner! You know what? But how easily we need to become mindful of what that name represents in our life. And because of that name, the access that we have now. And so going through daily life and the repetition of daily life, putting a reverence back and putting God first, not putting anything else in His place, not demeaning, belittling His name, but honoring and respecting it. Remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Our society has changed such to the point where there are very few things that are closed throughout the week today. Aren't there? Pretty much. I mean, some of us here in this room grew up in times when you couldn't shop on Sundays. You couldn't buy gasoline on Sundays. Anybody remember those days? If you wanted to take a ride on Sundays or visit family, you had to. I mean, you were limited what you could do on a Sunday. Here were your options, okay? You go to church. We didn't go out to eat in those days. Remember, we'd go home to eat lunch. And maybe if everybody was good and it was a good day and mom and dad weren't, like, at each other's throat and nobody was going to kill the kids, then we'd all load up in the car and go for the Sunday afternoon ride. Can anyone relate? And if we were really good, maybe once a month we got to stop and get an ice cream cone that cost like a quarter. Anybody remember? Now, I know some of you remember the nickel ones, but, you know, I'm not quite that old. You know, we stop and get an ice cream. Anybody's family here ever do the Sunday car ride and get an ice cream? And we rode up over the mountains so many times to the Ship Hotel, it wasn't funny. I can't tell you how much ice cream I ate out of the Ship Hotel, and I looked out over the 7 states and 3 counties. Anybody else here? The Ship Hotel was my second home. At least I thought that growing up. We were there all the time. We didn't even get tired of it, Wendy. I was never tired of going to the Ship Hotel. My dad would say, where do you want to go today? We going to the ship? Yeah, okay, let's go. We were so thrilled we were going somewhere. That the Ship Hotel was the great thing. And we'd go and, you know, take that ride, or maybe go visit Grandma and Grandpa. Remember going and visiting Grandma and Grandpa on Sunday afternoons? Remember going and visiting a family member on Sunday? So much of that is faded in our societies today, and a lot of it is because we don't have in our society today a Sabbath day like it used to be. The Sabbath was meant as a day of a rest, a day to rest, a day of not laboring, a day of not going out and doing things, but a day of just, you know, relaxing and rejuvenating and getting yourself ready to head back to the grind the following week. I'm just putting these in 2018 terms to you today. Sabbath, keep it holy, a day that we set aside unto the Lord. You know, I was thinking about the hours in a day, the hours in a week, the hours in a month, the hours in a year, the number of Sundays, the number of church services. You know, it's a relatively small period of time in conjunction to the amount of hours that we're afforded. You know, we're afforded a great number of hours through a week, through a day, through a month, a year. It's a lot. But yet, it's a very short period of time that we gather to do things like we're doing today, and we should not take these days for granted. We should not take them lightly, because they're important. They're important days that we come and we talk and we discuss and we share and we learn and we grow in our faith and our trust and our confidence in the Lord. It's these days that we come and become better equipped to be able to go out and fight the battles that we face on a regular basis. And we go home and we hopefully take some time to rest and prepare. But some folks are going 7 days a week, 12 and 15 hours a day, and some even longer. And they wonder why their health isn't doing well. They wonder why they're frustrated. They wonder why, my Lord, if God declared something in His Word that we should do, and Christian, we don't do it, then we can't expect anything but a negative result. If we disobey His truth, how can we expect a positive result in our life? And I know, and listen, I'm not telling everyone here that is on a shift thing and maybe you have to work a Sunday here and there. I'm not telling you to go quit your job today. But if you had to work Sunday, then show up on Wednesday night. Right? Show up on Wednesday night. And we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about things that become a habitual thing in our life. I mean, we should. Those are the things that we should be talking about, not the momentary things like, oh, I had to miss a Sunday here or there. We're not legalistic. But when it becomes a pattern in our life to the point where the Sabbath no longer is an importance, when we no longer deem it important to take a Sabbath, when the Lord said, remember and keep it holy. The first four I shared with you a few weeks back in just passing, the first four deal with God and our relationship with God. Those are vitally important to us getting by in life. Those are very important for us to grow in our relationship with God. Number five begins a turn, if you will, to our relationship with others. First four is us and our relationship with God. The following from five down are our relationship with others. Number five, honor. Honor. You can tell a lot about a person's life by who they honor. You can tell a lot about a person by who they dishonor. You can tell a lot about a person by who they dishonor. You can tell a lot about a person by who they honor. You know, we were raised in a time where, I don't know, how many of you find it very difficult sometimes today? When I was raised, if my dad said to do something, it wasn't up for debate. We didn't sit down and discuss it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Allison, you look over at your dad there. Take a good look at Alan over there. Yeah, Alan didn't suggest that. He didn't suggest you clean your room. Go clean your room. It was a suggestion. It was, right? Or mom. Oh, this is going to be good. Yeah. Well, do tell more. I'm enjoying this. Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time my dad said, give me your keys. I said, I'm making the payment on that car. You know, I'm a tough guy now, you know. I'm 16. I got a job, and I got my own car payment. I'm paying for my car. My dad said, give me the keys. I said, why? He said, because if you aren't going to church this morning, you aren't going to need the keys to that car. I said, you can't do that. He said, watch me. I said, what right do you have to do that? I never had to ask that question again. Because my mother told me what right he had to do that. She snapped her head like a dragon. She said, he is your father. And if he said, then that's what happens. Here's the keys, man. And hold on, I'm getting ready for church. You know, growing up, you disagree with things your parents said. I'm 54 years old. If I disagree with my mother to this day, I still hold my tongue. I would not yell at my mother. I would not argue with my mother. Why? She is my mother. What's number five say? Honor thy father and thy mother. To honor them, to put them in a place of honor, to respect them. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have difference of opinions or differences of a view on a thing or a subject or whatever. But honor says you hold your peace. Why? Because your respect and your honor for them overrides your opinion. Your respect and your honor overrides your opinion. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives to you. This one that he gives us comes with a promise. This is the only one of the Ten Commandments that's attached a promise to. It says, if we will honor our father and our mother. You know, I look back on, I think it was Ron and I who were having this conversation. You know, not everybody can be a caretaker, and I understand that. I am the first one to understand that because of being a caretaker. It's hard. It's difficult. And quite frankly, not everyone is really, their temperament isn't just able to do it, you know. But I remember in those few years that we took care of my dad, and, you know, just looking to show him honor and never put him down if he did something or had an accident or spilt something or, you know, maybe had an accident and dirt in himself and had to be clean. Never did we, oh, what are you doing? You know, we tried to give him as much dignity and as much honor through all of that and respect. I was at a store the other day, and there was a woman with her mother, and they were checking out, and she just, all of a sudden, why will you not turn up that hearing aid, for goodness sake? I mean, she just yelled like it really loud, I'm not even exaggerating, right in the middle of the store, and I'm like, and the cashier looks at me, and I look at the cashier, and there's another lady between me and them, and she looks at me, and she's like, well, then she started yelling at her about, you're moving too slow. Move over. I'll put the bags in the buggy. Come on. Let's move. Boom. She shoves her. And the woman looked at me and said, that's a shame. And I said, you know what the truth of that is? If that's what she's willing to do in public, what goes on that nobody sees? no honor, no respect. You know what she was? She was a burden. She was in the way. She didn't hear good anymore, so she didn't move quick enough anymore. We need to be loving and patient. Amen? We need to be compassionate and caring. Amen? We need to look out for those who have walked the walk ahead of us and maybe slowing down a little bit in life. And if we've got to hold the door and we've got to grab them by the arm and we've got to pull out the chair and slide it in or pick them up and take them somewhere or do something for them, my goodness. Can the love of Christ shine through us that we would love one another? Not just, you know, just our father and our mothers, but what about? And I'll tell you, and those of you who have been down this path with me, it's a road, isn't it, Marie? It's a road we've walked. We've walked a road, haven't we? We've walked a road. When you lose a parent, that's a part of you, isn't it? That's a part of you. Yeah. And that separation time between now and when we get to be with them again in heaven, there's that separation time. But I look back through that. I look back through that time, and I've been able to say I have no regrets. I have no regrets. I know that when my father left this earth, Ron, I had no regrets. I honored him. I respected him. And even at times when I was young and foolish and thought I was coming into my manhood and, you know, we're all going to show we're becoming a man now, he was patient with me, and sometimes he had to put me in my place. But I learned to honor him and respect him for who he was. For who he was. Not for a thing he ever did. Which he did things, but for who he was. He was my father. And I would not call him a vile name. I would not belittle him. I would not argue with him to prove my point or my stance. And listen, I'm not here to make a point to any of my kids. We're not having, so I'm like, boy, there must be something going on in the family today. No, there ain't nothing going on in the family. There really isn't. As far as I know, we're all good with each other. I'm just trying to tell you what the Word says. We're to honor. And we're going to end for there today, and then we'll pick up next Sunday morning and go through, because there's a lot of other things that I need to share with you coming off the heels of what the Ten Commandments says and how we live those and how we apply them into our life. But do not allow the hecticness and the craziness and the culture of our surroundings to get you to the place, and worship team, you guys can come back to the platform, to the place where we push aside what God has said. We need to elevate what God says. Denny, we need to lift up what God says. And if God says it, I don't care what some professor making $180,000 at a college says. And that's all well and good, but I want to know what the Word of God says. I want to know what Jesus says. How about you? We've got to hold to His Word. And again, let me reiterate, as I said very early on in this message, We do not dislike people. We do not wish to harm people. We just want to follow what God's Word says. And if people choose to do things in their life, that's their choice. That is their choice. God says the wheat and the tare will grow together. He says the wheat and the tare will grow together. But one day the angels will come and separate them. One day, the angels will come and separate the wheat from the tare. The wheat are the true believers. The tare are a degenerate seed. A degenerate seed. The tare look like the wheat. The tare, even in some senses, act like the wheat. but they're not. They are a degenerate seed. In other words, they are an imposter. And sometimes a degenerate seed will stand before the throne of God and say, but I did this and I did that. And in his righteousness, he's going to have to reject them because they were degenerate seed. They were not of the righteous seed. Jesus said, if you are mine, then you will obey what I've said. It's pretty simple. If you're mine, you will obey what I said, Jesus declares to us. The Father says, honor. Don't put any other before me. Don't worship any things. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Will you stand with us this morning? Father, I pray this morning that as we've looked over the first five very simplistically of what you've laid out before us in your word, that we could be found faithful, that we could be found faithful of these five. God, I pray today that in our weakness, that in our shortcomings, and sometimes in our all-out just disobedience, Father, that you will correct us, that you will challenge us, that you will strengthen us, that you will help us to conform to your image and your likeness, because that's what you've created us. To be in your image and in your likeness, to represent you in the kingdom. So I pray, Lord, throughout this week, we'll think about these things. Lord, maybe some will even be challenged by them, and that's good, and that's okay. If the challenge brings us closer to you. And I pray that the challenge brings us closer to you. Help us to live our lives in ways that will honor you. Father, and as we move next week into distractions, because all throughout this week, every one of us will be faced with distractions. I pray, God, that you help us to hold on to the truth and the power of your word, that it may transform us, renew us, strengthen us, that we may be able to walk with our feet on solid ground. Because you are our God, and we are your children. We give you praise. Your name is high and lifted up, and we exalt you today. Father, today, the very beginning of this new year, all over this sanctuary, Father, I pray that our hearts will bow before you, and each one of us individually will confess and repent of our sins to you and say, God, we need a fresh start. We need a new beginning. Redemption and new beginnings in 2018. And for that, Father, we give you the glory and we give you the honor. That same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.